We got a jam-packed show for you across the board. I'm very fired up that over the next two nights, we will have Stevie Sciarupa tonight. We will have Michael Imperioli tomorrow as they have a Sopranos podcast out that is off the charts that I've listened to, having some sleepless nights. They're on fire. They're going through episodes. Steve, we know, very, you know, well-connected around here. So Steve will join us later on tonight. Michael Imperioli will join us tomorrow. And for those of you who are fans of, quite possibly, in my opinion, the greatest TV show from a drama standpoint that you're going to find, if you're a Sopranos fan, you're going to enjoy the next two nights. Now, we obviously have to start the show off on a very down note and a sad note, the passing of one of the best head coaches in the history of the league. In fact, from a win standpoint, the winningest head coach in the history of the league, the great Don Shula, first of the Baltimore Colts, then, of course, the longtime head coach of my beloved franchise, the Miami Dolphins, passes on at the age of 90 years old. So Don Shula, who lived an incredible life, who was in football for a long period of time, and, you know, you go through the Shula win-loss record, which I was doing earlier today. My goodness. The fact he only had two losing seasons in all those years of coaching, from Baltimore from 1963 to 1969, with the Miami Dolphins from 1970 until 1995. What a run in the NFL. And you think about the best coaches in the history of the league. You think of Vince Lombardi. Of course, now you think of the great Bill Belichick, Tom Landry, Paul Brown. But I don't know how you have that sort of conversation without throwing Shula's name into the mix. Now, the knock on Don Shula is going to be, well, he only ended up winning two Super Bowls. And, of course, was an NFL champion in 1968. Well, we know what happened there as they took on Joe Namath and the New York Jets. But think about how that game, in many ways, could have been the defining moment of Don Shula's coaching career. You lose to the lowly AFL. Now, as it turns out, the AFL was no joke. Joe Namath and the New York Jets were ready. But in NFL circles, in NFL spheres, that is the sort of game that it, in many ways, could break you. Could break you as a coach. Could break you as a competitor. Could be the sort of thing that is like the lasting image that you think about when it comes to that given person. Hey, great career, all this, all that, but hey, lost to the Jets. Led to this change in the NFL. The merger, of course, as we know it. That's not the defining legacy of Don Shula, though. I think the defining legacy of Don Shula goes without saying. He's the head coach of the perfect and the only perfect football team in league history, the 1972 Miami Dolphins. He's the head man in charge. They go through two quarterbacks in that given year. Of course, the no-name defense. And they go on and do the unthinkable and finish off a perfect season. You could get on Shula for being 2-4 in the Super Bowl game. You want to knock Don Shula? Here's a knock to me on Don Shula. The fact that his team was unable to get over the hump with Dan Marino as his quarterback. But then again, if you look at the roster construction, no running backs really of note. Not a great defense by any means. By the time Dan Marino got himself a defense that was championship caliber, it was way too late in his career. But these are minor nitpicks. For a guy who coached as long as Don Shula was able to coach and was a force in the league the way that he was, it's an all-time great career. And a career that will be forever remembered, not only in Miami, but will be forever remembered in the history of the National Football League. And you have to wonder now, folks, with the New England Patriots not completing the perfect season, thanks to Eli Manning, Tom Coughlin, the giant pass rush, if we are ever going to see a team in our lifetimes find a way to a 19-0 season. In fact, I would wager on the fact, and I know I'm not going out on much of a limb here, that we will never see a team in our lifetime in the NFL complete the perfect season. It's too hard to do. And even if you're going to be a team, for example, like New England, that had it all cooking, that had it all working, that pressure in this day and age, ESPN, talk radio, social media, you name it. In many ways, I believe, the pressure for New England in that 2007 season got to them. And listen, I don't want to take away from what the Giants were able to do, but look at New England's last couple of games in the regular season. They easily could have gotten picked off. They could have gotten picked off in Baltimore, I remember, on a Monday night. They could have gotten picked off on a Sunday night game. I remember they were taking on A.J. Feely and the Philadelphia Eagles. That's a game they could have lost. The Giants, of course, almost had them in the final game of the regular season. And they got through and made it to the Super Bowl. But that can take its toll. So when you're the head coach like Don Shula of that perfect 1972 Miami Dolphin team, you don't got to worry even if a guy like Bill Belichick passes you. Even as NFL history changes and evolves and we start turning the page more and more and more, how many coaches are going to have a run like that? In this day and age, when coaches either burn out, get fired, you name it, to go basically almost 30 years in a place is unheard of. Belichick's been there forever, New England, right? Belichick started in 2000. So all that greatness, all that success, he's been there 20 years. Is Belichick coaching 30 years with the Patriots? Well, I sure hope not. But it was a 25-year run for Shula in Miami. Four-time AP NFL Coach of the Year. And the most regular season wins as a head coach with 328. Don Shula passes on at the age of 90. Of course, thoughts and prayers with the whole Shula family and whatnot. But Don Shula in many ways had me thinking tonight, folks, for our trip down memory lane. Because he in many ways, from a coaching standpoint, is the first guy you identify with when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. I think for many folks who are listening to the show right now, the first thing they're going to think of when they hear the Miami Dolphins is Don Shula and Dan Marino and perfect season. One of those three. So what I want to do tonight, in honor of the great Don Shula, not only with our local teams, but looking across sports, when you think of one individual franchise, who is the coach or manager that you most identify with? Who would be the guy you tie yourself into the most? See, it's easy from a Dolphins standpoint. Don Shula is a very, very easy way to go about it. Now, I do believe this will be a very generational type of conversation because the Yankees, for example, depending on when you grew up, that's going to be your answer. You know, I think for the Yankee fan who, you know, was growing up in the late 50s and the early 60s, boom, it's easy answer. It's Casey Stengel. If we were going back even further than that, we'd be talking Joe McCarthy. But I think for most of our audience, from a Yankee standpoint, the manager that they will point out as the most identifiable within the franchise, it's going to come down, I think, to one or two names. Now, again, I'm kind of catering to our demographic right now. Take that for what it's worth. I think it will cater to either Billy Martin or Joe Torre. Now, the reason I say Billy Martin and not Joe Girardi is because of the personality that Billy Martin was in his countless stints as New York Yankee manager. In many ways, the George-Billy dynamic and the infighting between the two kind of was a story in and of itself. So I'm sure for many Yankee fans listening to the show right now, or Yankee haters for that matter, when you think of that manager who's most identifiable with the pinstripes, you're going to say Billy Martin. Now, I would argue in my lifetime, it's not even close. It's Joe Torre. And it's not only the success that Joe Torre had, which obviously does come into play, being the manager, taking over and winning in his first year in 1996, winning four out of five championships, making the playoffs, every single year he was running the show. And the longevity. That's why, to me, if I had to argue between the two, Torrey and Martin, and who is the more identifiable face for the Yankee franchise, I'd argue Torrey. Because he was there a longer period of time. He had far more success than Billy Martin. And he was basically universally beloved. Billy Martin, I think, had an approval rating that was above a passing grade because he was a damn good manager. But a lot of the antics, a lot of the nonsense, a lot of the drama, that could kind of point you in a direction in which you say, you know what? When is enough enough? And I'm sure for many Yankee fans, maybe it was the blame of George Steinbrenner. Yeah. Maybe it was the blame of Billy Martin. I don't know. I was doing radio at the time. So I'm curious to see what Yankee fans looked at as, well, who was more responsible for the circus? Probably George. But Billy didn't help. And Billy wasn't going to be a guy to, dare I say, diffuse the situation. He was going to throw gasoline on the fire. That was his way. That was his personality. But I think of Joe Torre as manager of the Yankees over a decade, four titles, six World Series appearances. When I think New York Yankee leaders, that's the first guy I think of. Now, I think for most historians, they'd maybe tell you Casey Stengel, or maybe they would tell you it's Mel Huggins. My lifetime, though, it's hands down Joe Torre. Now, from a Mets standpoint, fascinating. Very fascinating. Because Gil Hodges, of course, is the manager in 1969 when they go and win the World Series. Then, of course, you have Yogi Berra coming in, managing the team in 1973. Okay. You don't really identify Yogi in the Mets. Then you have Davey Johnson. And Davey Johnson was this guy who kind of developed in many ways this kind of vagabond status as a manager. But it started with the New York Mets. And I think for a majority of the audience, I'd say, over the age of 35, I fully expect them to have Davey Johnson as that guy. Managed the team from 1984 to 1990, was a part of the World Series championship in 1986, was there in 1988. I would expect most Mets fans of a certain age would go Davey. Now, some of an older age would go Gil Hodges. But I also think you have to take into account how Mets fans could make the argument for Bobby Valentine. Not from a success standpoint, but Bobby managed the team for a long, long time. Taking over in 96, then 97, 98, seeing the team get good in 99, 2000, 2001, and of course at the end when he leaves in the 2002 season before Art Howe comes in, which was just an all-time nightmare. An all-time disaster in 2003. I'd say from a Mets standpoint, most will give me the answer of Davey Johnson. But some of these are far trickier to do than others. And we'll get into this. For example, the New York Giants. Who is the coach you identify with? The first thing you hear is New York Giants. Is it Bill Parcells? Is it Tom Coughlin? I'm trying to put myself in a Giant fan's shoes. That's a tough call. That's a really, really tough call. Both won two championships. Both had their own unique way of being able to relate and connect with players. They each had their personality charms. They both had their flaws at times. I would expect most Giant fans are going to give me Parcells. Gut feel. But I won't be surprised we got a whole lot of Tom Coughlins. The Knicks is going to be an interesting one, too. Once you take out Red Holtzman, who are you identifying more with the Knicks? Is it Pat Riley? Or is it Jeff Van Gundy?